Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bills rookie defensive end Greg Rousseau was awarded the AFC Defensive Player of the Week today. He had five tackles, a sack, and an interception in Sunday night's win over the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the third week in a row that a Bills player has received weekly honors, the other two players being Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. A look around the league now, the Giants were without two key pieces of their offense today as Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley didn't practice today. Barkley with an ankle injury and Jones with a concussion. Chiefs star wide receiver Tyreek Hill did not practice today due to what the team is calling a quad contusion. And finally, Joe Mixon was not practicing today after having a reduced role in Sunday's game. The running back has been battling an ankle sprain for a couple of weeks now, but is hopeful for a full return in Week 6. In hockey news, Buffalo Sabres forward Drake Caggiula was back on the ice today after leaving practice early after an awkward collision and is expected to be okay for tomorrow night's home opener. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. Go to paddockchevrolet.com for the best in pre-owned inventory. I'm Josh Schmidt for WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That still hurts. That guy. That comment still hurts. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is author Seth Wickersham, senior writer at ESPN. His new book, It's Better to Be Feared, on the Patriots dynasty has been making waves, and it is now out for sale. Seth, Mike and Chris here. Thanks for your time.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
You're from Anchorage, I found out today.
Yes.
Is that the conversation starter that I want it to be? I don't know if I don't know if it is, but
I don't know. You know, I guess you know some people. Some people find it very interesting. Others not at all. But honestly, you know, growing up in Anchorage, it kind of reminded me of Buffalo a little bit, just with more mountains, but similar weather.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So a lot of people are talking about this book, of course, Seth, and have been since news of it broke. What has been your reaction to the reaction so far?
I don't know. I just answer the question.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pleased with the reaction it's gotten, and I spent a long time on the book, and in some ways it's like two decades in the making. I was hired at ESPN Magazine when I graduated from college, and one of my very first stories was when my editor sent me to Foxborough, Massachusetts to interview the backup quarterback for the New England Patriots, who had been starting for a month and played pretty well, this guy Tom Brady. And I will never forget, it was at the old Foxborough Stadium. I don't know if you guys remember it, but it's like a high school field.
And, Mike's going to be 50 in a couple weeks, and I'm well into my 50s.
We both
go back to Schaefer Stadium there in Foxborough.
We've been to games there, yeah.
Yeah. And so we met, and Brady was wearing like a gray sweatsuit, and he had a backpack that was full of beer because he had lost a Michigan State bet. And I remember at one point in our conversation, he said, "You know, football's always come really easy to me." And at the time, I was like, "Well, who says that? It's ridiculous, whatever." And now you look back on it 20 years later, and that's a pretty prescient comment he made.
For sure.
Did that comment make it into that first story, Seth?
It did. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Because someone that knew, like your reaction to it, I bet readers would have thought the same thing. Like, who is this guy?
Yeah, it wasn't something that I hadn't like done that many stories. I was still pretty green, but it just wasn't something that I expected him to say. And, as it turns out, he knew himself better than any of us knew him.
I had heard the comment the other day. I think when I heard it was seeing your tweet about it, where Belichick kind of disowned having spoken with you or knowing you almost, and you're like, well, that was bizarre for him to do because of course he's spoken to me, and this here's a list of times when he did. What, so that's some evidence of his feelings here. What about Brady? Do you know, like, where he's at in his life, having moved on? Like, have you communicated with him about this or anything, or where does that stand?
He knew I was working on the book. I haven't talked to him for a while, but, you know, I was very clear that you know, Robert Kraft, Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick didn't cooperate specifically for the book, but I've talked to them many times over the years, and I felt like I had, like, a good amount of material that I could just draw upon that had never been out there. And then also, you know, just as a reporter, I've been an investigative reporter at ESPN for a long time, I just felt like that I could, you know, call people and meet with people and understand and, you know, do my best to understand, you know, what makes these guys so great and what some of the costs of that greatness are.
So what do you come away with? Like, what are some things you can share with us that made them so great?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, but let's start with Brady, for instance. And I think that, you know, one of the most interesting transitions that Brady made was going from the kid who was kind of cocky and, as he said, a whiner, to this kind of hardened man who was ready for life in the NFL. And one of the pivotal moments in his career and probably his life was when he was at Michigan, and he was buried on the depth chart, as we all know. And he told Lloyd Carr, the head coach, that he was going to transfer to Cal. And that night, he met with Greg Hardin, who was his counselor, a counselor he had been assigned to. And he tells, you know, he's kind of whining to Greg Hardin about how he can't get on the field. And finally, Greg, and this is only the way that he could react. He doesn't react by giving Brady a hug or even by applying kind of tough love. Instead, he laughs at him. He laughs at Tom Brady during one of the most kind of vulnerable moments of his life. And he says, "You want to leave? Go ahead. You haven't done bleep here anyway. And if you leave, no one's going to care." And it was really kind of an interesting crossroads for Brady there, because if he had gone to Cal, he probably would have gotten on the field faster and had a fine career, and he never would have become Tom Brady. But instead, you know, those words kind of reignited his competitive spirit. The next morning, he tells Lloyd Carr, "I'm staying at Michigan, and I'm going to prove to you that I'm the best quarterback at the team." There's a lot of moments like that are kind of lore in retrospect, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. With Seth Wickersham here on WGR, Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Seth, in Buffalo, we've just kind of figured out now, or just moved on from the Patriots, you know, having their thumb on us for so many years. and now we're enjoying their struggles here as the Bills have kind of taken their place, if you will. And with Belichick, so it's just interesting to me that he's still doing it. As much as they've won, Brady goes. He easily could have just moved on at that moment, or any other moment, I suppose. But here he is now. Now he's got a new first-round pick quarterback, and I guess he wants to see that through. What do you think? Like, if you have a prediction on his future, great. What is it that's particularly driving him? Is it like, I don't have anything else, or do you think it's more just like, you know, I want to prove myself, or just, you know, something else?
Well, we spend so much time talking about the differences between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and there's a lot of them. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of them. But I think that one of the things they have in common is they have this, you know, cliched fire within them, but they have this, like, internal drive and need and compulsion almost to do this. And, yeah, they could have each exited you know, many times with their legacy and their health and plenty of money. And instead, they just keep going. And it's clearly not about retiring on top, you know? Like, they could have been John Elway or any of these guys a long time ago and walked, you know, Tony Dungy when he walked away with a Lombardi. And it's one of the reasons why I, like, remember that moment, you know, last year after the Super Bowl, Brady wins the Super Bowl with the Bucs, and Gisele Bündchen runs up to him and she says, "Well, what more do you have to prove?" And he finds a way to change the subject. Because the Super Bowls for these guys are almost like this weird byproduct of this obsession that they have in this need to do this. It reminds me a lot of you know, you see a musician who is practicing and well into their 70s where they feel, you know, it's like that mix of adrenaline and need and ego and all of this stuff, nothing makes them feel more alive than performing. And it's one of the reasons why in the book I looked at Belichick and Brady as characters that evolved over time rather than making the Super Bowl huge moments. Because, you know, as we've noticed, I mean, there's no amount of championships that are too much for these guys. They keep going regardless almost of how the season ends because they have to.
Very good. I know you're short on time, Seth. I just want to say I read Chad Finn's review. I haven't seen the book yet myself, but I read Chad Finn's review in The Globe, and he points out how you write fans are, you know, then talk show hosts are rung up from fans, but he writes he would put talk show hosts at the bottom when it comes
to... I'm catching a lot of that from you guys, and I didn't mean it that way. It's one of those things, I think in the subsequent edition, I'll have to tweak that a little bit. I mean, some talk show hosts. I was on Jim Rome yesterday. He made sure to point that out. And
sorry.
You know, it's not one of those things, but it was meant to sort of show, you know, we're talking about what makes these guys great. One of the things with Belichick is that he, for someone who's as socially awkward and introverted as he is, he understands the psychology of his opponents better than almost any coach in NFL history. And he figures out ways to get inside their head, knowing that when they react a certain way under stress, they will kind of revert to their most essential selves. And that's when he's got them trapped. And he does it all the time to people. And when I wrote that, that was an example of when he did it to Mike Shanahan in Denver. And you know, he handed Mike Shanahan a surprising loss that haunted Mike Shanahan for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I won't mention it next time. I'm sorry. I really wanted to maybe get it to Chad Finn because he put the very bottom. I mean, that's damning. Okay. Congratulations on your success, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.